Coddersall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
It's that time of year where, as footy fans, we all get massively excited. Is our club going to sign someone big in the very final 48-24 hours of the transfer window? Someone who's experienced many a frenetic transfer window, covering it year in, year out. Well, I've seen it from both sides, as the reporter and as the head of press at football clubs, as well as Alan Myers. Morning to you, Alan.
Morning, Steve.
So, does it fill you with fear? Or do you actually enjoy it?
I enjoy it, really. You know, I look forward to it twice a year. I look forward to the summer one a little bit more than I do the winter one, I have to say. Especially when you're stood outside a training ground for 16 hours, you know. But now there's been some, it's grown into something, you know, which we never really had, you know, certainly in my early days, you know, when I was going the match on a regular basis as a fan. But it is, you know, it's become part of the football calendar, and there's no two ways about it. I think I was sort of at the one which started it all off, really, which was the one I started the day at Finch Farm, waiting for Louis Sahar to turn up for Everton, which he did, and we got a shot of that for television. And then I got a phone call to get over to Manchester City, because they'd been taken over, the club had been taken over by the Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi people, and then later on that night, I think it was around about midnight, they came out and we announced that Robinho had signed for them, you know, and it was one of the most unbelievable days of my career, you know, that day. It had everything.
I mean, those are huge headline stories, aren't they? And those are the sort of headline stories that, as a fan, you really want to be involved with.
Well, that night, certainly, you know, at Manchester City, we had, a load of people come down because they thought they were going to sign Berbatov at the time. And that sort of went away, and then everyone disappeared, you know. And then around about midnight, you know, 11:30, I announced that, Robinho was on the cards, and it looked like it was going to happen. And he wasn't even there, you know, he was away with Brazil or something at the time. And next minute, sort of, you know, 11:45 at night, this whole mass crowd appeared behind me, you know, and next minute, you know, I think I got kissed on the face by a man that night, you know, and it was just, it really just showed, you know, what football is now. You know, it's about, you know, it's not just about the excitement on the pitch, it's about everything. And you know some people will see that as a good thing, some people will see it as a bad thing, but no, it certainly adds to the the fans' excitement, I think.
Without giving the full set of secrets away, so transfer deadline day, and obviously news seeping in all the time, do you find the phones buzzing a bit from the agents? You're having to use your own nous a little bit. How do things work?
Well, I think that's changed in the last few years. I think the relationship with clubs is a lot different now and a lot better now, if you like. I think clubs have slowly realised that, you know, you can't keep these things away from the media. You can't keep these things away from the fans now with social media. And, you know, often you see pictures of players sitting in airports where a fan's taking a selfie with him sitting behind, in the back of the ground and things like that. So you can't really go anywhere or do anything, without the public knowing now. So I think, in fairness, clubs have sort of realised this, and they try and, you know, and what they should do is try and get in there first and sort of get their message out with the reporters, with the particular media, whether it be radio, television, you know, or newspaper. And, and I think they do that on the whole. So that's changed a little bit, you know, but the news comes in. The biggest part of the biggest problem of the day is sifting out, the good stuff and what, you know, because you can very easily go along a way where, you know, and it's just not true. So, and that's really sort of annoying for a fan, because they get built up with this name that might be coming, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's nothing in it, and it's just somebody who's put a rumour out there who, you know, sometimes for many reasons, whether it be mischief or whether it be, you know, a particular reason. So, you know, it's a difficult one, trying to sift, you know, the good stuff from the bad stuff, really.
Yeah, that's where you have to use your head. And as you say, for example, an agent can try and use the press in many ways to get the deal he wants. For example, there's a player like Oxlade-Chamberlain at the moment who's maybe torn between two clubs.
Yeah, I mean, we read this morning that, you know, he may have turned down a move to Chelsea because he favours Liverpool. So, you know, you don't know what the truth is, in fairness. But as you say, there are agents, and I have no problem with that. You know, that's their job. That's what they've got to do. They've got to get the best move for their player. Sometimes, you know, I think agent advice isn't the best, you know, and sometimes I think it's just, as I say, just them trying to do their job. So, you know, so you do have to be a little bit careful, you know. My bottom line is that, you know, if I can get it stood up by the club, whether it's good or bad news for them, you know, that helps, and you can then go. I try not to speculate at all, really, and I get bombarded on Twitter, you know, about this name, that name, this name. I've seen him there, you know. I think we saw Costa in Costa the other day, and you know, so it gets a little bit mad in the end. And I think what you've got to do is just try and get these things, you know, straight and you know, some sort of truth in it, you know, because even clubs, I mean, I've been on, as you said before in your introduction, you know, I've been on the other side of it, and the sensitivity sometimes when you're trying to do a deal like that, it's really difficult, and there are things which people, you know, the sort of fans and other, you know, other people that don't see that, you know, they don't see why you have to keep something quiet. And that's difficult from a club point of view. So I think where I'm slightly different is I have a sympathy for the club in that respect, and I look at it from their point of view, you know. So, but it's not easy for anybody on the day.
Well, just focusing in on Everton then in particular. If I rewind a year, and I seem to remember maybe there was a few daggers being thrown for a lack of activity, maybe 48 hours out. And then, of course, Bill Kenwright was working exceptionally hard on the final day and brought some deals to fruition. That was a year ago, wasn't it? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. I think, you know, it's been an interesting transfer window time for the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, I remember when I went back there in 13-14, I remember I'd already had a holiday booked going on the actual transfer window day, and I couldn't get out of it. It was done. So I actually went on a plane. Before I went, I tweeted, we had 3 or 4 deals going on, and I tweeted something like busy, busy, you know, and then just as I left, I was told that the 3 or 4 deals were possibly not going to happen, you know. So I thought, oh no, you know, and I had the worst trip on holiday I've ever had, you know. But luckily, when I turned my phone on, when I landed in the country I'd gone to, 6 hours later, it gone crazy, and everyone was saying, "Oh, well done!" I'd had nothing to do with it, you know. but you know, it just shows that on a night it twists and turns, you know, and it's not easy. What I think is great about Everton this year is they've got a lot of the work done early, you know, and you know, I heard some, you see over the last few days people saying, we've got to get a striker, we've got to get a striker, we've got to get a centre back, you know, it's not going to be a great window if we don't get a striker. Well, okay, I can see a point of that, you know, I can see that, but what I would say is that every single signing that Everton have made, I think the fans would look and say, yes, that was a good signing, you know, for whatever reason. And they're all different, you know, they're all, you know, Pickford is about, you know, he's a good player now, but he's also got massive potential, you know. Same too with Michael Keane, you know, and then you look at the experience of Wayne Rooney. So I think they've done really, really good business, Everton, and I think they've done it early, which is crucial. There's still work to be done, and I think Ronald Koeman, you know, has made no secret of that, and he wants a top striker, and I think Everton need a top striker, and that is difficult now with what, 24, 48 hours to go.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation they're in. If they hadn't signed all these players they have in this window up to this point, but they signed them in the last 48 hours, it would be hailed a giant success, this transfer window. But of course, expectations have been set at a different level because they started early, Al.
Yeah, listen. There was one time in the transfer window, this transfer window, where if Everton hadn't signed someone, you know, in an afternoon, there was people wondering why. You know, it's getting that ridiculous that they were signing them for what looked like every day. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think where some of the fans' frustration is coming from at the moment is the fact that the key player that, you know, that they want a striker to replace Romelu Lukaku's goals, you know, 25, 26 goals, whatever it was, you know, that probably hasn't come in yet. And I think that's what the fans are waiting for. And of course, that type of player is the one that excites fans more than anything. And I think I've known, what, 7, 8 players that have been linked with Everton over the last few weeks in that position. And we really don't know who they're looking at. I mean, I know there's a slight interest in Costa, if it was possible. You know, you've seen other Benteke's name being mentioned, and Giroud, who my personal preference would be Giroud if he was to leave Arsenal. So, you know, it's been a great window, but the problem is at the moment is the key target, the key person that I think Everton fans want to see come in, and probably Ronald Koeman does, is that big name striker, and that of course is intensifying the furore around it.
Would you take Costa on a 4-5 month loan, or do you see too many negatives in that?
I see too many. Personally, I've seen. Listen, he's a great player. I see people on social media say, you know, how can you not want? Of course, you want Costa. You know, he's a great player. He's a great striker. I think the Twitter name is a snide. You know, he's someone who gets in and causes trouble for defences, and that's what you need. But at the same time, personally, I wouldn't have him here, because not for 6 months. You know, and it wouldn't be 6 months. By the time the signing was done, by the time he got match fit, you're looking at maybe October, November, December, because he'll go, if he signed for Atletico Madrid, he would go on the 1st of January. Now, the thing is, for me, I think Everton have moved on from accommodating other people's situations.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You know, and I just don't think we shouldn't be looking at, you know, oh, thanks very much, Costa, for coming in for three. You know, we need to start looking at players for us and players who want to play at Everton. And, you know, and I think, you know, but I can see the temptation. And, you know, I can see, you know, you look at, I liken it to Eric Cantona, of course, went on a permanent deal to United, but someone who can turn a club's mentality. You know, we've got Wayne Rooney, who's already started to do that. But, you know, someone like Costa is such a character that they change a mentality in a club. And believe me, people underestimate the power of a mentality in a football club. If that focus is in a certain way, you can achieve anything.
Are you expecting it to be fairly quiet for Everton tomorrow or not? And who will be the big spender?
No, I think Everton still have business to do, and I think they'll do something. I think they know. Well, I think Koeman wants a striker and probably another centre back. You know, I'm not sure we've got all what we need defensively. You know, there's obviously people talking about defensive cover on the left as well. But I think maybe one or two is that. You know, I think Liverpool will still do business and big business, and I think Manchester City and Sanchez and that situation is still to be done. So I actually think it's going to be one of the best. I think it's already become one of the best summer transfer windows. But I think it's going to be, and the ending, you know, the next 48 hours are going to be as good as we've seen right through. And I think they are going to be, because the money now has gone ridiculous, even from 12 months ago. It's crazy. But I think there's going to be a lot of business over the next 48 hours. Who will be the big? I don't know. I suspect, in a strange way, I think Arsenal might do a lot of business, because I think there'll be business out. I'm actually at Leicester City tomorrow for Sky, and I think there'll be a lot of business going on there, mainly going at, you know, you see Mahrez, Vardy, Slimani, Drinkwater, all being linked with moves. Now, they're big players for Leicester, you know, so you wonder what sort of business they'll do to try and, if they, any of those do go, to try and bring the, you know, players in to replace them. So it's an exciting one, Steve. I don't think you can move away from your radio or your television. I think you'll be watching, that's for sure.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.